3:33, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is a lovely Monday, but it's hot. I mean, honest to goodness, it's hot. 93 legit degrees, 102 once you factor in all of the stuff. And I don't even know what the heck goes into the extra stuff, but man, it's there. It's too hot. And we got the potential for thunderstorms for like 4 or 5 days in a row. So there you go. It's, well, what can I tell you? It is what it is. All right. So Monday, we got Bobby Chacon coming up in just about an hour. And Bobby is, as you know, because he's been here before, absolutely brilliant guy. Absolutely brilliant guy. Retired out of the FBI, an attorney and all that other good stuff. But more than that, he's now one of the major screenwriters in Hollywood, and he's popping up on all of my podcasts. Now, I've known Bobby for years, and I love talking with him and everything else. I didn't realize what an active role he played with so many serial killers. And you know, true crime, one of my favorite podcast genres. So I wanted to bring him on because I've been hearing him on so many podcasts that I've been listening to. And you can find them all. I mean, if you go to your Odyssey app, there are a million podcasts there. They're great stuff. And this Israel Keyes is one of them. God, what a crazy guy. And it became so interesting to me because this Keyes character was in a lot of the parts of the country where Heidi and I lived at different times. And I shared that with her. I mean, it was freaky. So Bobby Chacon will be here at 4:33. Oh, we got a four-pack of tickets. NASCAR's back this weekend, as you know, at Richmond Raceway Complex. Got a couple of really big races. The biggest race, August the 11th. And I got a four-pack of tickets for you. We'll give them to you at 4:20 this afternoon. Quick reminder about the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. As I mentioned to you, I am personally disgusted, absolutely disgusted, as I listened to, watched this Josh Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania, apologize because he was, quote, pro-Israel in college. Well, I was 20 years old. It doesn't mean anything. Now, you know, he's a professional political slug and is willing to turn his back on his own people. I'm absolutely appalled. I truly am sickened, and particularly given that I'm going to Israel in about 13 days, I can't understand how anybody can do what he is doing. But he's so desperate for power and so desperately wants Kamala Harris, who was chosen for the nomination, to choose him for the vice presidential nomination. Awful. Just awful. Dr. Andrew Bostom joins us well, every once in a while. I mean, he's always writing stuff and posting stuff and really good stuff. And he pops up because we're happy to have him pop up. Doc, good to have you with us.
Good to be with you, Jeff. I'm glad to hear about your forthcoming trip to Israel, too.
Well, thank you. You know, I've never been. I'm the one in the family who's not gone, and not going to be a vacation trip. But I just feel it's vital to get over there and then bring these stories back.
Yeah.
Oh, there he is.
It was a short sentence, Jeff. It was a short sentence.
Oh, well, thank you. Hey, real fast, I know you got a lot of stuff that you want to talk about and we want to cover, but looking at this Josh Shapiro from Pennsylvania, the governor who says, oh, well, I was pro-Israel back when I was 20 years old. Doesn't mean anything now. I'm just curious to know your gut check reaction.
Well, he was very forthright when he was a young man in college, and said that, you know, based on what he understood at the time, which is probably more honest and accurate than what he professes to understand now, that, you know, because frankly of Islamic fanaticism amongst the Palestinians, he wasn't optimistic that there could be a solution, and he didn't really understand how a two-state solution would work. And that's, you know, from the mouths of babes, you know, with their basic understanding at the age of 20. Now, of course, you know, because it's part of the Democratic Party platform to support a two-state solution against all logic and actual geostrategic policy, he feels compelled to affirm his support for a two-state solution.
I find it disgusting. Has there been anything on the ground there that's changed in the last 20 years that you've seen? I mean, you're one of the best analysts when it comes to this.
No, I mean, you could say, as a geostrategic alliance, I like the overtures that began under Trump with the and which led to the Abraham Accords. I mean, it's less to have less belligerence around Israel is a good thing. On the other hand, you know, I'm always leery about these things. There's been a cold peace with Egypt since 1979, and yet they just discovered tunnels so big going between Egypt and Gaza that they actually fit vehicles through them. The IDF just discovered those over the weekend. So, yeah. You know, but listen, it's better not to have any additional hostile armies confronting Israel in the Middle East.
Yeah. Well, what about here in the States? I mean, there's so much made of the Democrats now having what's been described as the Hamas wing. And, you know, the first time I heard that, I kind of chuckled, oh, that's kind of cute. And then every time I look, it's like, yeah, that's getting closer and closer to the mark.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And we saw that with this during the Democratic primary. You know, of course, they decided they don't need a primary anymore.
Right.
So
yes.
I guess that's all moot. But you did see large blocks of Arab Muslim voters abstaining, particularly in the Michigan primary.
Yeah.
You know, so that's part of, I think that was part of the whole momentum to remove Biden, at the time. I don't know if it addresses the Kamala issue, but it's coming back to bite them. There was a story over the weekend that, tactics, in a completely Islamized, town in Michigan, there was all kinds of voter intimidation by Muslims in support of Muslim politicians, and now the Democratic progressives who had aligned with them are complaining about it. There was some stories over the weekend about that. You know, very thuggish tactics that you might expect in the Middle East or something were used to force votes, and now the progressives, the Marxists, whatever you want to call them, Democrats were complaining about that and charging that these are voting violations of they are, but you know, these are their former allies.
It's amazing, yeah, that these are they're allies one day, and I guess they're pseudo opponents the next day.
Yeah, look, in the region, I'm just looking at a story from the Jerusalem Post that so Israel has decided to go to this policy. Their retaliation, which I think is completely fair and reasonable, is to take out military leaders of both Hamas and Hezbollah, and apparently the IDF is claiming that the Air Force took out another Hezbollah commander in southern Lebanon, who's responsible for I thought maybe he's responsible for some of the missile attacks. It wasn't clear to me. But that seems to be it seems to be a very reasonable policy, which is supported by the Israeli population. You know, there was some interesting polling data out of Israel very recently, one of their TV networks, which found that 64% of Israelis support fighting the current war, quote, for as long as it takes.
Right.
69% supported the assassinations of, at the time, it was Hamas's leaders, Deif and Haniyeh, of course, and also Hezbollah Shuker, who, by the way, was responsible for the 1983 Lebanon bombings, which killed at least 240 Marines. And then also 61% of Israelis favor preemptive strikes against Islamic Republic of Iran, if just to prevent it from attacking Israel. So Israel is solidly behind what's going on right now, despite their misgivings, you know, their concerns about Netanyahu, particularly not so much the right-left debate in Israel, but the security breach itself from October 7th. People haven't forgiven him for that, and I think that they'll. But for now, they just want to defeat Biden in that sense.
No, I don't want to, but I want to get your response, your thoughts as well. Over in England, I mean, since the last time we chatted, they've had an election in England, and Sir Keir Starmer is now their prime minister, who is all about criticizing anybody who's a conservative. He has said nothing, however, about violence being committed by what are described as jihadis. What's going on there?
Yeah, well, so there was that horrific stabbing of children attending some sort of a dance function that's related to Travis Kelce's girlfriend, the singer. I don't know, dancing to her music, I guess.
Right.
But it was horrific. And it turned out there were some rumors that I believe they were not true, that this was a Muslim recent migrant, and that was not true.
Mm.
It was someone. Someone who was born in Cardiff, but was of African descent, obviously deranged.
Right.
And I guess there were some large demonstrations outside of mosques, and then there was retaliatory violence. And of course, there's been a whole history of jihadi violence in England for the last 20 years.
Right.
And so I guess this was a reaction to what turned out to be, something that was not perpetrated by a Muslim. But all Starmer is concerned about is this reaction, inappropriate reaction. But there's been plenty of other times when this powder keg could have exploded,
right?
Where there were all kinds of, and now what's happening is that it's an excuse for the jihadis to engage in very 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 violent acts, and there's been no comment about that from Starmer.
Right.
Whatever triggered it, he's only concerned about the quote unquote right wing,
exactly,
related demonstrations and violence. So it's very one sided, and he's talking about pouring millions of British governmental dollars into mosques, which is just also absurd.
Wow. It's craziness. Hey, Andrew, number one, I appreciate you being here. I always appreciate that. Do us a favor. Remind everybody where they can check out what you're working on, what you're writing. And do you want to give us a little glimpse into maybe something big that you got on your agenda there?
Well, it's all my blogs are at andrewbostom.org. My books are at Amazon, and I'm very active on Twitter. My handle is just at Andrew Bostom. And I am working on a huge translation project of a Quranic commentary, which is probably the most important Sunni Quranic commentary. Sunnis are being 90% of Muslims. By a former, he died in 2010, a late grand imam of Al-Azhar University. And it's it translates into English as Jews and the Quran and the Traditions. And based on our previous conversations, Jeff, you can only imagine how non-ecumenical it is. But I really wanted to bring it's 766 pages.
Wow.
Of just brutal anti-Semitism.
Wow.
And I just wanted people to understand, unfortunately, what the residue is that we're dealing with. I mean, this was one of the most important, modern figures in Islamic learning, and these were his attitudes. And it's never been fully translated. I've translated some extracts from it, working
right.
in
all right
the legacy of Islamic anti-Semitism.
Yeah,
but this will be the entire work.
All right. Well, I appreciate you being here. That's Dr. Andrew Bostom. And like I said, he pops up, not a regular basement. We're always happy to have him on. He's working on stuff. But I'm so desperate to get the gut check responses from people who have seen this image, have listened to this Josh Shapiro in Pennsylvania. I personally am sickened by it. I'm absolutely, positively sickened by it. And I put it in the context of someone who is not only a Jew, but is headed to Israel in less than 2 weeks. And I just, I'm nauseated by his absolute lust for power. That's what it is. How do you turn your back on people, your own people? It's 3:46. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA.